Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise and deliver those critical insights you need. Today, we're diving headfirst into a challenge many Spanish learners face, conquering the DELEC1 reading comprehension test. For those maybe unfamiliar, DELEC1 is the official diploma, you know, certifying your advanced Spanish proficiency. And its reading section, well, it can be a formidable beast. But don't worry, we're here to arm you with everything you need to tame it.
That's right. Our mission today is really to demystify this crucial component. We'll explore its structure, the unique hurdles it presents, and most importantly, the practical proven strategies for excelling. What's fascinating here, I think, is that our insights come directly from an experienced DEL examiner and teacher. So you're getting a truly insider's perspective on how to crack the code, so to speak.
Right. So what does this deep dive mean for you, the listener? Whether you're actively preparing for the DELE C1, maybe you're just curious about how these high-stakes language tests are designed. Or perhaps you're just looking to dramatically sharpen your overall reading comprehension skills in Spanish. Consider this your express lane to being well-informed and well-expertly equipped. We're going to unpack the nuts and bolts of this exam section, offering concrete, actionable tips that can truly move the needle.
Okay, so let's start with the big picture then. This test evaluates your sophisticated ability to process written texts. It's really far more than just understanding the words on the page. It's about detecting implicit meanings, recognizing the author's underlying attitudes, or even the subtle intentions woven into the text. Think of it like reading between the lines in a conversation, you know. You're listening for the unspoken, the subtext.
That's a crucial distinction. Yeah, it's not just a vocabulary check then. So with that kind of depth required, how is the section structured? Like, what does it actually look like?
Well, it's broken down into five distinct tasks. They're designed to hit different aspects of reading comprehension. You have a total of 90 minutes to complete all five, and that involves tackling 40 questions in total. This entire section contributes a maximum of 25 points to your overall exam score.
Okay, five tasks, 40 questions, 90 minutes. That structure sounds pretty daunting. So with that in mind, what's the absolute first thing someone should be doing even before they get near the exam room?
Excellent question. Yeah, because success isn't just about what you do during the exam. It's fundamentally built on your preparation beforehand. And here's where a crucial insight comes in. Many of these foundational tips aren't just for C1. They apply universally, you know, even if you're at a B2 level aiming higher. First, you absolutely must familiarize yourself with the format. It's non-negotiable. Understand the test's structure, what each specific task demands, and how much time you should realistically be allocating to each. It's like understanding the rules of the game before you play.
And is that where most students stumble? Is it less about their Spanish level and maybe more about underestimating the sheer strategic demands of this section?
Precisely. Yeah, underestimation is a common pitfall. Which leads me straight to the next piece of advice. Practice full tests and meticulously manage your time. When you do a complete practice reading comprehension test, don't just check your answers. That's not enough. Track how long it takes you per task and for the whole section. Monitor your improvement over time. The real insight here isn't just about speed. It's about cognitive endurance. The DELC1 is designed to exhaust you if you're not disciplined, really. Meticulous time tracking isn't just about finishing on time. It's about training your brain to maintain peak performance even as the clock ticks down. You're preventing that mental fatigue that leads to careless errors. It's building your test stamina, which is truly the hidden key, I think.
Test stamina. I like that. That's a powerful way to frame it. Yeah. Beyond the mock test, what about just general reading? Does that count as prep?
Absolutely. Definitely. Engage in active reading of diverse Spanish texts. Read articles, news, essays, whatever you can get your hands on. This isn't passive consumption, though. It's about actively enhancing your overall comprehension and expanding your vocabulary. And speaking of vocabulary, you need to actively expand it across various themes. This is vital. It's crucial for understanding complex texts and answering those specific, tricky questions. The source even mentions the idea of joining a vocabulary club for practical application, which is, you know, a fantastic way to make it less abstract and more hands-on.
Yeah, making it less abstract. Speaking of which, the source you share had a really strong emphasis on model exams. From your insider perspective, why are these so critical? You even mentioned it might be the best advice of all.
Right, because the DELEC1 has a predictable structure, even if the content changes radically each time. Practicing with many different model exams, from preparation books, websites, wherever you find them, allows you to get the hang of each task's unique demands. It really does. It builds a crucial familiarity, a kind of muscle memory for the specific question types you'll face, which raises an important question. If you identify specific tasks that are problematic for you, what then? Well, the advice is clear. Dedicate more practice to those weaker areas. Again, always using time control to monitor improvement. It's targeted training, basically.
Okay, so you've geared up, you've practiced the drills, you've built your test stamina. Impressive. But when you walk into that exam room and the timer starts ticking, what's your battle plan? Let's shift our focus to those crucial in-the-moment strategies. First up, when you approach each task, what's the very first thing you should do with the text itself?
Okay, good question. Always start with an initial, complete reading of the text. This isn't for detail, not yet. It's to gain a general understanding, a kind of bird's eye view of the content before you dive into the questions. Many students make the mistake of jumping straight to the questions, but that often leads to getting lost in the details later. You need that context first.
Right, like getting the lay of the land first. That general read sounds like a compass for the rest of the task. And time management, again, it rears its head here. What's the best way to handle the clock during the test itself?
Yeah, it's always there, isn't it? While approximately 15 to 18 minutes per task is a good guideline, it's crucial to understand this is approximate. It's not set in stone. You'll need to adjust based on your personal strengths and, frankly, the difficulty of that specific text. Some are harder than others. If you find a task surprisingly easy, great. Bank that time. Use it later. If it's a struggle, give it a little more, maybe. But be strict with yourself. Don't get bogged down. Don't be afraid to be flexible. But, yeah, don't get stuck.
Makes sense. And speaking of questions, once you've done that initial read, what's next? Read the questions.
Exactly. Read the questions carefully before you start scanning the text for answers. Make sure you truly understand what is being asked of you. Sounds obvious, but it's easy to misread. Sometimes, a subtle word in the question completely changes its meaning. Once you understand the question, annotate your text. Act like a detective looking for clues. Mark it with the question number where you think you find the answer and underline key words or phrases that directly relate back to that question. This keeps you grounded in the text, keeps you focused.
Keeping grounded seems vital because I imagine it's easy to get sidetracked or misinterpret things. So answers must always consider the broader context, right? Not just isolated phrases.
Absolutely. Always consider the overall context and coherence of the text. It has to make sense globally. Your answers must be consistent with the provided information, not just a standalone phrase you pluck out, or worse, an assumption you make. What's fascinating here, and often challenging, is that you often need to make inferences. Answers aren't always explicitly stated word for word. The correct answer is frequently a paraphrase of something in the text. Here's a critical point. It's vital that all information within your chosen answer option is correct, not just part of it. One false detail, even a small one, invalidates the whole option.
Wow, okay, that's a high bar. So this raises an important question. What if you're just unsure, completely stumped? Is it better to leave an answer blank than to guess and risk losing points?
A common misconception. And good news here. Incorrect answers do not result in a deduction of points in the DLE, so it's always, always better to mark the most probable answer than to leave it blank. Always, take an educated guess. You have absolutely nothing to lose and potentially a point to gain. And crucially, remember this. Your answers must be based solely on the text provided, period. Do not rely on personal deductions or your own opinions or external knowledge you might have about the topic. The test is assessing your comprehension of that specific text in front of you, nothing else.
Right. Okay. That's crystal clear. Text is king.
Exactly. So we've covered the big picture, the mindset, the general approach, but the devil, as they say, is in the details, especially when each of these five tasks has its own unique set of traps and potential triumphs. So let's peel back the layers on each one, offering some specific insights. Ready?
Let's do it. Task one first.
Okay. First up, task one, general comprehension and specific data. This task presents you with a text, usually around 650-50 words, followed by multiple choice questions, typically three options each. It evaluates your understanding of general ideas and specific data within public and professional texts. Think instructions, contracts, reports. Frankly, our source described these as often being super boring texts.
Uh-huh. Super boring texts, which I totally get. I can picture a dense contract. But for a listener facing down something like that, what's the mental trick to not just skim, but genuinely engage and extract that precise data? It sounds hard.
Yeah, it requires focus. Treat it like a scavenger hunt. Seriously. You're not looking for narrative pleasure here. You're looking for specific clues, specific pieces of information. Your time limit here is a maximum of 18 minutes, remember. To make that scavenger hunt more efficient, try to familiarize yourself with these text types beforehand. Just know what a contract usually looks like, where info might be. This helps you anticipate where information might appear. As always, read the questions before the text. Those questions are your map to the clues you need to find. And practice eliminating incorrect options. Sometimes it's actually easier to spot the two wrong answers than the one right one. Process of elimination.
Okay, scavenger hunt mode for the boring texts. Got it. What's next? Task two.
Next, task two. Reconstructing structure and identifying relationships. This was quite different. Here, you'll read a text from which six fragments have been deliberately extracted. These correspond to item 712 on your answer sheet. You're given seven fragments, labeled A through G, meaning one fragment is extra, it doesn't fit anywhere. Your goal is to place the six correct fragments back into the text in the right order. This task evaluates your ability to reconstruct text structure and identify relationships between ideas in extensive texts, maybe 556-50 words.
These sound a bit more maybe pleasant than task one. The source mentioned different text types, and it sounds almost like a linguistic jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. A linguistic jigsaw puzzle is a great analogy. That's precisely what it feels like. And yes, these can indeed be literary texts, travelogues, blogs, articles, maybe even bits of plays or stories. So yeah, definitely a bit more pleasant, potentially. Key tips for this task. First, try to identify that extra fragment early if you can. It might have a slightly different style or theme, though often it's deceptively on the same general topic just to mislead you. Focus heavily on connectors, words like sin embargo, however, ademas, furthermore. Also, pronouns like el or ella, who are they referring to? Does it match the previous sentence? And other elements that link preceding and succeeding information, look at grammatical gender, verb tense agreement, person agreement. Establish the logical relationship of events, if it's a narrative. Does the sequence make sense? If a particular gap or paragraph is problematic, mark it, move on, and revisit it later. But don't leave any unanswered. And here's a crucial final step. When you think you've completed the task, read the entire reconstructed text through. Does it flow coherently? Any clunky transitions probably mean you have a misplaced piece.
That final read-through sounds critical. Good tip. Okay, on to task three.
Moving on to task three, identifying content, intention, or point of view. This task features a text with six multiple choice questions, again, three options each. It evaluates your ability to identify not just content, but the author's intention or their viewpoint. You need to capture both implicit, so hinted at, and explicit attitudes and opinions. These are often specialized, long texts, 550, 650 words maybe, from academic or professional fields. Think essays, monographs, or opinion articles.
So much more nuanced reading here, really testing that reading between the lines ability we talked about earlier. What's the specific strategy for unearthing those subtle intentions or viewpoints? How do you pin them down?
Well, similar to task one, definitely read the questions before the text. This tells you precisely what kind of intention or viewpoint you should be hunting for as you read. Then select keywords from the answer options and actively look for synonymous expressions or paraphrases in the text. This is where your expanded vocabulary truly shines. The answer might not use the exact same words. Practicing with synonym exercises beforehand can be really helpful here. Often, the questions use synonyms of words found in the text, not direct repeats. It's a test of your lexical agility, really.
Lexical agility, nice. Okay, task four next.
Fourth, we have task four, locating specific and relevant information. This task involves six shorter texts, maybe 100 and 150 words each, and you need to relate these texts to eight brief statements. It evaluates your capacity to locate specific and relevant information. Those words are key in short texts related to the academic field. So you might see things like book reviews, thesis summaries, or bibliographic entries. Short, dense texts.
And a key note here from the sources, something that feels like a potential trap, is that you may need to select some texts more than once.
It absolutely can be a trap. Yeah, specifically, the source mentions there are two texts that you have to select two times. Mm-mm. The emphasis here is really on specific and relevant information, not just general points. That's the core skill being tested. Don't be fooled by a text that seems to cover the general topic of the statement, but lacks the precise detail the statement requires. Again, look for synonymous expressions or paraphrase statements. It's a very precise matching game.
Okay, precision is key there. And finally, task five, the grammar one.
Finally, task five, identifying appropriate structures and lexicon. This is often described accurately, I think, as the most grammatical exercise of the reading paper. You read a text and you complete gaps in it by selecting one of three response options. This task evaluates your ability to identify appropriate grammatical structures and lexicon, so vocabulary and context within complex linguistic contexts. The texts tend to be longish, 375, 425 words, and quite complex. They often deal with specialized professional and academic topics drawn from magazines, textbooks, or specialized newspapers.
Right. This sounds like it could really trip you up if your grammar isn't absolutely rock solid. What's the best way to navigate these grammatical minefields without getting lost?
It truly is a deep dive into grammar, yes. And it's where careful planning and technique really pay off. First, read the entire text through once, just for a general idea. Don't stop at the gaps yet. The title often offers crucial clues about the topic, which helps with the overall meaning and context. Then, reread it more carefully to decide your answers for the gaps. That initial full read helps significantly with understanding connectors or nexuses that might span sentences or even paragraphs. Remember, same rule applies. Incorrect answers do not count negatively, so always guess if you're unsure. Never leave a blank. Always read all three options carefully, even if one seems immediately right. Sometimes there's a subtle trap. Pay close attention to words immediately before and after the gap. These often indicate crucial collocations, required prepositions, or provide context that gives meaning to the needed word. For example, look for the correct verb, tense, and mood. Consider connector choice. Does the following verb need to be in the indicative or subjunctive? This is often the subtle difference between the options offered. It tests those finer points of grammar.
Okay, wow. That's a lot of detail for each task.
Yep.
So just to recap all that incredible detail for everyone listening, the entire reading comprehension section totals 40 items across those five tasks, mm-hmm. and it's worth a maximum of 25 points towards your overall DELEC1 score.
That's the structure, yeah.
Expert, that was an incredibly comprehensive and really actionable deep dive into the DELEC1 reading comprehension test. We've just armed our listener with a wealth of precise strategies from general preparation before the exam. So tackling each specific task with hopefully a bit more confidence. These aren't just abstract ideas, are they? They're practical, expert-backed methods designed to boost performance and maybe calm those exam day jitters.
Absolutely. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture for a moment, consider how the critical thinking, the active reading, the time management skills we've discussed here, how they really transcend mere test preparation. How might these methods for dissecting complex information, for identifying subtle meaning, those implicit intentions, maybe hidden bias, how might they apply to any challenging material you encounter, you know, your personal or professional life? What other areas could benefit from such a strategic, deep approach to information? It's something to think about.
That's a fantastic thought to leave you all with. That ability to strategically approach complex information is, well, it's truly a superpower in today's world, isn't it? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We encourage you to apply these insights and continue your journey of learning and discovery. Until next time.
Thanks for listening, Delicasters. It's always great to have you here. In September, every Friday, you'll get a new episode in English like this one, where we talk about previous episodes and help you reflect on important topics. On Tuesdays, there will be episodes in Spanish, some focused on vocabulary and others diving deeper into the DELI B2 and C1 exams, helping you understand what's expected and how to succeed. If you're getting ready for the DELI, remember that Carmen Madrid's group courses begin the last week of September for the November exam and again in March for the May exam. And if you prefer individual lessons, you can start whenever you like. Contact Carmen for more information about individual or group courses at carmenmadridonline@gmail.com or on her website, deleexam.com. Are you ready to show the world your Spanish skills?